This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. In a moment, we'll chat with comedian Matt Bronger, who has a new Comedy Central special this month. But first, let's talk Valentine's Day. Americans are planning to spend a record $18.9 billion, that's billion, on related expenses such as candy, flowers, and a special night out, according to the leading personal finance social network WalletHub. To give celebrants a sense of the Day of Hearts deal they're getting compared to the rest of the country, WalletHub examined 100 of the most populated cities across 15 key metrics. The data also includes such measurements as restaurant meal costs, the number of attractions, and the number of florists per capita. The worst cities for Valentine's Day? Hialeah, Florida, Newark, New Jersey, Cleveland, Ohio, Garland, Texas, San Bernardino, California, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Toledo, Ohio, North Las Vegas, Nevada, Laredo, Texas, and the worst city for Valentine's Day? Detroit, Michigan. Now let's look on the bright side. The best cities for Valentine's Day start with Fremont, California at number 10, followed by Plano, Texas, Scottsdale, Arizona, Portland, Oregon, Irvine, California, San Jose, California, and San Diego, California, followed by Orlando, Florida, Seattle, Washington, and the best city for Valentine's Day, San Francisco, California. Some key statistics, the cost of a restaurant meal for two is four times higher in Miami than in Plano, Texas. The average price per movie ticket is four times higher in Detroit than in Fremont, California. The average wine price is six times higher in Cleveland than in Fremont. The number of jewelry stores per capita is 37 times higher in Miami than in North Las Vegas. The number of florists per capita is 21 times higher in Miami than in North Las Vegas. The number of chocolate shops per capita is 26 times higher in San Francisco than, say, Oklahoma City. And the number of specialty stores per capita is 12 times higher in Orlando than in Garland, Texas. How much a person earns in the first 10 years of their career determines how much they'll make in their life. Researchers studied workers and how much they made during 1978 to 2010. They found the bulk of earnings growth occurs in the first decade when people are 25 to 34, while the average earnings growth in the 35 to 55 age group was zero. Too many choices while shopping confuses the brain. According to researchers, the problem with so many choices is that it leads to frustration, which can lead to poor decisions. What works better is limit your choices while shopping, then divide those into four piles and pick one from each, then pick the best one from those four. Young, dumb, unemployed, a teen was fired from a job before she even started because of an idiotic tweet. A Texas teenager was fired from her job at a pizza place before she even started because she posted a tweet complaining about the gig. The teen wrote, "Ooh, I start this job tomorrow." And she used some expletives. After hearing about the tweet, the manager responded, "And no, you don't start the job tomorrow. I just fired you. Good luck with no money, no job, no life." The man's tweet has been retweeted thousands of times. How long should you wait before having sex with someone new? According to a new worldwide survey, the average is 3.5 dates, but you can round it up to 4 just to be safe. The survey also found that the best cities for dating are Paris, Melbourne, Kuala Lumpur, Beijing, and Chicago. The accents that people find the most attractive are British, American, Irish, Australian, and French in that order. Comedian Matt Bronger has a special this month on Comedy Central.
I'm well, thanks.
Now, you are a big, dumb animal, but we say that, of course, with all the best of intentions.
Yeah, that's the name of the special.
So that means it'll play tonight and about 400 more times before the end of the month.
Yeah, but it won't play that many times before the end of the year, actually. But, it'll play a few times.
All right, so Matt, what went into this Comedy Central special? Did you work out material ahead of time and then just videotape yourself, or how did it work?
You play a lot of clubs, you play a lot of festivals, and you hone your material, and you put an hour together, and I think this is kind of my most cohesive one, where it's kind of got an arc and a trajectory, and where I'm at in my life right now, and then, I contacted a company called New Wave, or rather they contacted me and they said they had a spot open and they were going to shoot it at the Bell House in Brooklyn, and then you get a director and lights, camera, action. Basically fill the place up twice and do it twice, and then you've got, then you edit it for a while, which is honestly hell to watch yourself that much.
Yeah,
and
right.
There with an editor, it's awful, man. Like to edit a TV show or something like that, it's great because you're just in, you're in various scenes with other people, but just you talking, you're just like, you, by the end, you're like, I hate all these jokes. I hate that guy's face. I hate myself. Yeah, but it's, I'm very proud of it.
So you really do have to have an objective eyes and ears do most of the editing with you.
Oh, sure. But you also have friends you can show it to and get opinions and things like that. You know, outside opinions are always important, obviously.
All right, so Matt Bronger, if people didn't know you before tonight's special or before the special on Comedy Central, what would you tell them about your comedy?
Well, it's basically, I look at it as taking the steam out in a way. And I watch comedy to kind of take a break from life and, you know, forget about my troubles. And I've just been, you know, always this kind of a big goofy idiot with a unique take on life. I think it's every comedian's job to make the audience see the world through their eyes. So it's just getting unique perspectives that are also relatable. And also just watch a big dumb animal flail and fall down and make horrific mistakes. So you don't have to, kind of thing.
Well, now, how did you transition from Peaches, your nickname, to Big Dumb Animal?
Well, Peaches is just something a woman yelled at me once when I had a T-shirt on from a record store that said Peaches. And she was angry at me for winning bingo, and she yelled, F you, Peaches. But she didn't say F. She said the actual word. So from then, I started telling that story, and then people started just kind of yelling at me, on the street in L.A. So it was kind of a name that was kind of foisted upon me. You know, none of my friends actually call me that kind of thing. But the Big Dumb Animal thing came from when I was waiting tables and, lifted big trays of food above my head and taking them out to tables. And I remember I came in one morning, there's a waiter there who's kind of like a jock type, but, you know, like a preppy type, but, you know, very funny guy. And he was just like, hey, what's wrong, you big dumb animal? You all right? You feeling okay? Just smiling at me. And I just, despite myself, I just laughed. I was like, what a horrible thing to call someone, but it's so funny. So I just remembered that. And that was like, God, I don't know, 13 years ago or something like that. So, yeah, that's the origin story of both those names.
Well, you say you look at things differently. Most comedians obviously do. You have a different take on the obvious things of everyday life. But did you get this at a young age? Were you like the funny kid that cut up in class?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm an only child. And so I was always craving attention and disrupting class. And, yeah, I was definitely a class clown. And I do think, you know, comedians are typically have very analytic minds, which is one reason we're such, you know, tortured people. They're prone to neurosis and addiction and things like that. But I think I was definitely that person that dissected everything and overthought everything. And so to answer your question, absolutely.
Now, you also do some acting, too, right?
Yeah. I was on Mad TV. I was on a show called Up All Night with Christina Applegate and Will Arnett, as well as several other little programs here and there. I actually started out as an actor and then went into comedy. Comedy's been kind of the big bread and butter, but as a result of it being successful, I was able to transition it into acting roles here and there, which is nice.
Now, is this your first Comedy Central special?
It's my second. Came out in 2012. And was called Shovel Fighter. So this is my second one with them. They've been great.
Yeah, and what was the reaction to the first one? Obviously, it was good enough that you got a second one.
Yeah, oh, it was great. The only problem with the first one, personally, from my perspective, was that it was a little disjointed and it went all over the place. I feel like this one stays a little bit more on theme and, you know, it doesn't switch gears so much. You know, this one one joke leads into the next one a little bit more seamlessly. But I really like the last one, too.
And where was that filmed? This one was in Brooklyn. Where was the first one filmed?
This was in Manhattan, so not far. I don't know why I keep shooting in New York, but maybe they just have the best crowds. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're from Portland, Oregon, right?
I know. You know, I taped the album for the special, the last special, in Portland. And then Comedy Central heard that album, and they're like, can we put this out of the special? And I said, okay. So then I redid it in front of a bigger audience.
I see.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the next one will be in Portland. That'd be great.
Yeah, you know, the hometown hero comes back.
There you go. Yeah.
Were you into, like, grunge and everything that we associate with Portland, Oregon?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I graduated high school in 92, so that was the kind of the height of it. I remember going to the second Lollapalooza right outside Seattle, and... I was very into that stuff.
But now you've moved south, right? You're based out of L.A.?
Yes. Yeah, I've lived in L.A. for a little over a decade now, which I think you kind of, if you want to do what I'm doing, you kind of have to live in New York or L.A., and New York was always just too crowded for me. And, you know, the apartments are so small and it's so expensive. L.A., if you could spread out a little bit more.
All right. Well, you should be working for the I Love L.A. Tourism campaign.
Yeah, if they'll hire me, I'll do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Put that on record. Sure.
Well, Matt, we appreciate a couple of minutes. We hope the Comedy Central special plays all month long and that people come to know your comedy and the big, dumb animal that you have grown to be from the origins of peaches.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. All the best. Take care.
Okay. You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. With comedian Matt Bronger of Comedy Central, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Oh, America.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Here's something for all of us multitaskers.
A study at UCLA gave two groups index cards with various shapes on them. Group one sorted their cards with no distractions, while group two also heard beeps in their ear, which they counted.
The two groups sorted equally. However, the first group remembered what they sorted better. So something suffers when we multitask.
How can you break the tendency to multitask? Think one. File everything away except for the one thing you're working on. If you don't see it, you won't be tempted.
Second, ask what's most important right now. Make time for everything important and do everything important in its time. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Great. Harrison with you. Good news for people suffering from hemorrhoids, which for them is indeed no laughing matter. Hemorrhoids are often brought on by constipation and subsequent pushing during bowel movements and are almost a given when it comes to childbirth. In this sense, they are varicose veins surrounding the anus and lining the rectum, and they swell and become agonizingly painful. But now, some natural remedies are taking light. If you live near a Whole Foods or a more upscale grocery store, you can commonly find homeopathic tinctures made of arnica, derived from daisies, or calendula, extracted from marigold flowers. Both remove pain, shrink hemorrhoids, and begin healing when applied. Instead of chemical creams, we can use what our grandmothers used so successfully and safely. A quick website shortcut for this and other homeopathic cures is homeopathyhome.com.
Think green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.